Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Santu Seppälä. He's the Chief Strategy Officer of Staxon Inc., a US-based company. First and foremost, Santu, very welcome to this interview.
Thanks very much for having me.
Anytime. Well, of course, I would like to begin my interview as I always do. As they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I will ask you the same question as I always do with my other interviewees. How come you ended up in this business, Santu? And obviously, coming from the north of Europe, I believe, ending up in the US, how did that come about?
Well, it was actually happenstance. My father-in-law was a very early investor in Staxon. And this was over 10 years ago. I started to work with the company 5 years ago. So I've been involved just, you know, as almost a jack of all trades, helping out wherever I can. Mm-hmm. And it's an exciting project. So it's been a very, it's been a passion project of mine for the last 5 years.
Okay, fantastic. So do you have any, let's say, shipping or container production background yourself before, or engineering or?
I don't. You know, my career has been in the investment management side. So I was a equity research analyst and a portfolio manager for many, many years, and then took a little bit of a detour with Staxon. I do now also work for a private equity firm called Angelino Group. So that's mm-hmm. that's a second sort of position that I hold.
Okay, interesting. Right, turning to the shipping business of this, Staxon, what can you tell our viewers about Staxon? From the name, of course, we all know in shipping container stacks. So how did the name come about, and what can you tell us about the establishment of the company?
Sure. So Staxon is 10 years old, and we have the world's only vertically folding shipping containers. So many of the other designs are collapsing. We like to make a differentiation between collapsing and folding. Mm-hmm. Ours folds vertically, and we think it offers many benefits in terms of structural integrity. But basically, we are able to bundle variably up to 5-in-1. So 2, 3, 4, 5 containers, when they're empty, we can fold and bundle them. And that bundled set actually is the same, you know, standard dimensions, ISO standard dimensions as a regular container. So there's 100% intermixability with the existing container fleets. Mm-hmm. We save money, we save space, we save emissions and time in the supply chain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did watch your video, and of course we will be adding that to the interview for the viewers to see later on, but it's a quite an ingenious concept and very impressive. When do you intend to start, let's say, in the market with real production on this?
So our goal is to be introducing our containers at the end of 2023. Mm-hmm. Before that, we'll be doing some field trials starting at the end of this year. And so that's our plan.
Okay. I ran your interesting concept through a friend of mine working at CMA CGM as a ship planner, and he's planned thousands of containers over the years. And one of the questions that he he reminded me to ask, what is the weight of one Staxon container?
So it's roughly, it's definitely heavier than a regular container.
Yeah.
And I don't have it at my fingertips in terms of the weight, but it's about 1.3, 1.4x a regular container.
So okay.
It's definitely heavier. It has moving parts.
Yes, of course. No. That's understandable. And also another question here. What are the floors made of? Is it bamboo? And are they of, let's say, an environmentally friendly nature? You know, there's a big buzzword in being green these days.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the wood can be plywood. It can be bamboo. We haven't finalized our end production yet. So our goal is to be the first green, smart folding container in the market. So bamboo would definitely be a good choice for us.
I understand. And at the moment, I understand for this kind of very special concept, it is you are focusing on 20-foot container units, right?
Well, the technology can actually be applied to any size container. So okay. whether it be a 20 foot or 40 foot high cube, 40 foot, even 53 foot in the case of North America. So we started with the 20 foot only because we felt that that would be the hardest actually to figure out the engineering from a structural integrity with the floor folding the way it does. Mm-hmm. So we felt that it was a good place to start. And we've conquered sort of the folding floor concept and the weight on the 20 footer. So now it's easier to go to actually, you know, graduate to the 40 foot high cube.
Yeah, of course we have to start. Rome wasn't built in a day, so we have to start somewhere. Where would these containers be produced? You know, there's been a lot in the global village. Things are maybe, let's say, discovered in one place but produced in another. Will you produce these in the U.S. or elsewhere?
So we don't have our final production lined up yet. For the field trial purposes, where we intend to build about between 50 and 100 containers of different sizes, and those will be used for field trial purposes.
Okay.
We'll make those more than likely in North America, in the US. And okay. so far we've worked with a number of manufacturers, metallurgical companies, you know, based in North America. Ultimately, there is a good chance that production may go, you know, to Asia. And obviously there's lots of manufacturers who have, you know, capacity and the skill to build these. So yeah. All of our manufacturing partnerships will be certified by us. You know, yeah. we need to make sure that whoever builds these for us, we're not going to be in the business of making these. We will outsource all of our manufacturing.
No, that's clear. That's what most people do anyhow these days, as long as the quality is ensured. And as you said, you keep an eye on whatever's going on. One question here, I understand that how long time does it take to fold and unfold a container like this? Tell our viewers about that, because that's really impressive.
Oh, sure. Well, we have three different ways of folding. One, obviously, is a manual approach, which involves a forklift and a few workers. So ultimately, we believe we can get down to below 10 minutes per fold.
Wow.
But we also recognize that for high volume situations, we don't want the folding process and the bundling process to become a bottleneck in the supply chain. So we recognize that we need to get below 5 minutes. And so the second way of folding is a semi-automated station, which we have some drawings on, and we haven't built one yet per se, but you know, we think that we can get to that 5 minute mark, and then a fully automated system, which we hope to work with Konecranes on, actually.
Oh yeah, Konecranes, yes.
So that would get the folding to less than 3 minutes per box. So that's kind of a standard that we're aiming for, and that would obviously be for very high volume you know, situations.
Yeah, now that's very impressive. Konecranes, I know pretty well from my younger days. I did a lot of shipping for them in my previous company, Konecranes in Hyvinkää. And so you know your home field, so to speak. Very interesting. And of course, for these containers now, these foldable containers, I mean, when you have a good idea to produce something new, it's important to make sure that your idea is not copied. You know, when you outsource production, how will you make sure that your ingenious idea is not just stolen by someone? How do you make sure of that?
Sure. We think about this a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, we spent the first years of our, you know, history as a company really building the intellectual property portfolio. So we now have 38 patents globally that have been granted. That number is increasing. And many of those are obviously in the US and EU, but we also have patents in China and Taiwan. So many of them have to do with the folding floor. That's really our largest patent element. But that's our plan, is to, you know, have the IP in place. And one of the reasons we haven't, frankly, spoken, you know, haven't begun the conversations and discussions with the manufacturers is that we wanted to have that IP in place first.
Yeah, no. I fully understand. It's very important. I lived about 13 years in China myself, and if there's one thing they're good at is copying. That doesn't mean that they can't do things by themselves, but they are really good at copying. And I've heard had a lot of friends that had their things stolen. So very important that you keep an eye on that, of course. but Santu, no, I must say it's a very interesting product. Who would you say would be your ideal customers? I mean, of course, obviously, I suppose the container carriers, but it could also be major shippers, couldn't it?
Yes, we think that both BCOs, obviously ocean vessel operators, and even leasing companies will be the primary market. You know, the market is shifting a little bit, so BCOs are thinking about owning their own fleets. Many do already. but we think the first adopters will really come from the ocean vessel side and potentially some BCOs that we're actually working with. So
okay, very, very good. And you are in touch with some of the major lines around the world in this case, I suppose.
We are, yeah. We have a good number actually in our already signed on to our field trials, which, like I said, will start at the end of the year. And okay. We're excited. We're excited to be working with many of them.
Yeah, no, that's good. No, it's certainly very interesting. And of course, as you correctly imply here, the BCOs now are looking at the forwarders are becoming ship owners, the ship owners wants to be forwarders, and the BCOs wants to run ships. It's a kind of a messed up world where things are not as they used to be with all these supply chain problems, right?
Exactly.
So, of course, these containers, you say that the weight is about 1.3, so if that's not too bad. I mean, I would have thought it would be a lot more, but it doesn't sound exorbitant to me. There is a genuine chance that this might actually hit off with the carriers, I'm sure.
Well, I think as with any new technology, you know, we need to prove a couple of things. One is that we can save money for the owners of the containers. So operational expenses come down. I think we also have to prove through the field trials that there really is an emission savings. Obviously we're taking potentially, you know, trucks off the road. We're allowing, you know, fewer lifts at the port, increasing port throughput. As a result of that increased port throughput, hopefully we can load and unload ships faster. So that allows the ships to take off from ports more quickly, and therefore slow steam. It sort of allows for that as well. And then, you know, lastly, there have been a few more academic papers written about ship stacking, but certainly you can improve aerodynamics on ships if all of your empties, let's just say, you know, going east to west, back, you know, from the west coast of the US to China.
Yeah.
If all of your empties are below deck, you know, that allows for a little bit more aerodynamic shipping as well. So we have to prove all those things, savings, emission savings, or cost savings, emission savings, and then also the productivity improvements.
Yeah.
I mentioned, you know, we want to be the first smart green shipping container. Our plan is to have GPS fitted on all of our boxes.
Okay.
We think that knowing where the containers are at any given moment in the supply chain will be an important consideration, especially given that they need to go to the folding stations or where they'll be bundled. So, you know, we have to know sort of the flow of the containers. And so those are things that I think buyers or owners of containers are looking for. You know, all of those three points we need to prove, and you know, we'll do it before we launch commercially.
Fantastic. No, I, honestly speaking, I mean, I've been in container and break bulk shipping for many years, and this is the first time I've really actually thought about this kind of system where you fold a container like like I would fold my boxes in my storeroom. I mean, it's really smart. Why nobody really thought about this before just comes to my mind. I think a lot of our viewers, when they watch this interview, will say, why didn't we do this earlier? Right?
So well, you're absolutely right. And this frankly isn't the first time. You know, there are a few companies that have tried this in the past.
Right.
All of the previous designs from an engineering standpoint have been horizontally collapsing.
Exactly.
And no one really could figure out the engineering to do a vertically folding container. So it is the first time. And we think a big differentiator there is the fact that we can fold variably. So whether you have 2, 3, 4, or 5, you can fold any one of those configurations, and it's always 8 feet wide, ISO standard measurement. So that flexibility in terms of the folding makes for a very different solution in the market. I think that's important. And then of course the intermixability. So you can lift, stack, move our bundled set the same way that you can a regular container. It can be on the bottom of an 8 foot high stack of containers.
Yeah.
And be totally fine.
Yeah. And I don't think you could do that with the opposite container. I mean, the opposite foldable containers. Yours can take that kind of pressure, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. The structural integrity of the sidewalls is maintained at all times. So that's an important consideration.
Okay. Very interesting. May I ask, you are a US-based company, and you want to launch this in 2023, you want to start the trials end of this year. How do you envisage your time schedule with all these delays in supply chain and COVID and whatnot? You're still on track, so to speak, for these end of 22, start 23?
We think so. To be totally honest, some of the timing is TBD. But we hope that in terms of some of the supply chain issues that they will be alleviated to some extent, going into the second half. Obviously, November, December starts to get busy again with Christmas season and the holiday season. So we're also not looking to ship thousands of containers in our field trials. So it's really two sets of 5 boxes, so 10 containers total, doing round trips, fully loaded one way, coming back empty, folded and bundled on the return. And we're hoping to touch all of the various points in the supply chain, so rail, truck, ocean vessel.
And
for phase one, we're actually doing short round trips, so we're not that interested in long time on the water. We'd rather do a short round trip. So we have a few routes in mind for the trials, and we think that it's doable.
It's certainly something that I would like to hear more about when the time comes. And will it be possible to, once you have these field trials, I suppose then you have your collapsible containers, you will give them to a shipping line and they will sail it from here to there. And then you'll transport on the road. So basically you will test it wherever it'll be tested once you get into mass production. I mean, really put it on a stress test, as we say, right?
Yeah, precisely. So, we are certified for the 20-foot container. We're fully CSC. We have a CSC plate on
CSC
that.
CSC plate, yeah.
But we also recognize that, it's one thing to be certified and another to actually be out in the field and undergo the real life conditions of the box. Some key points that we need to make sure are in place are the durability of the laden container, fully loaded container, the durability of the bundled set, the ease of folding in the field, and then also how the GPS holds up, in this case with the folding concept.
Yeah, and of course, as you well know, I'm sure that once you're on the salty water on the high seas, salt water and steel is not always a good mix. And if you have movable parts, that's also, I suppose, something that you you were looking into to check that that you know they can keep you know several years, so to speak.
Exactly. Yes, we plan on proving all of that in the trial.
Okay, very good, very good. Excellent, Santo. I must say, most interesting to hear on all of this, and I'm sure that many of our viewers around the world will be equally interested. I think I've come to the end of, I prepared a couple of questions here, but I'm not such a technical guy. I'm more like a, say, marketing person, but I think you've covered most of it here. And yes, at least the first comment I had from that friend of mine at CMA CGM, he said, "It's the best design I've seen," he said.
Well, that's music to our ears.
Yeah, I'll show you the email so you can see it's not orchestrated here. So I want to say formally, Santo, many, many thanks for giving me the chance to have this interview.
Thanks very much, Bo. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. So to all our listeners, viewers, and readers around the world, this was yet another great interview, of course, by Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Santo Seppälä. He's the Chief Strategy Officer of Staxon Inc., a US-based company who has a most ingenious and very impressive recipe for how to save costs in the future regarding containerization. So do stay tuned, and also for further interviews in the near future. Thank you.